This morning we consider the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In connection with that, we'll read God's Word in two places. First, in Acts chapter 4, and then after that we're going to turn to just one verse in Deuteronomy 29. In these two passages, we read of the two aspects of the one will of God, the will of God's decree and the will of God's precept. In Acts chapter 4, we read of the will of God's decree, especially in verses 27 and 28. We're going to begin reading at verse 13 of Acts 4. This is when Peter and John were before the leaders of the Jews. Peter had healed a man, a lame man, in the temple. And then they were imprisoned by the leaders of the Jews and then questioned by them as well. And in response, Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. We read in verse 8. And then he spoke of the work of Jesus Christ. Now we read in verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing, how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorify God for that which was done, for the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And we'll stop our reading there. Now we'll turn to Deuteronomy 29. And read that last verse of Deuteronomy 29. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. Well, there's a reference here to both aspects of the will of God at the beginning. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, a reference to the will of his decree. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So thus far we read God's word. It's on the basis of these passages of Scripture and many others that we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 49. You can find that on page 26 in the back of your Psalter. Lord's Day 49, Catechism asks, which is the third petition? Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good. that so everyone may attend to and performs the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we need thy word. We need this word this morning so that we would learn to pray rightly in regard to thy will for us. Father, we know that we can easily be deceived in our hearts and our minds, that we would think we know what is right and pleasing before thee. But we pray, Father, that we would truly desire to do what is pleasing before thee, our God. And we pray then that thou write this word upon us, that we would know how to pray in regard to thy will and not go further than what it is that thou dost call us to do. Give strength to thy servant as he brings this word to us. May he be faithful, bring the word in truth and for the glory of thy name, and open our hearts to receive it. We pray this all, understanding the great need we have for the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's remember this morning that the Lord's Prayer is the model prayer that our Lord Jesus Christ has given us. And that means that through this prayer, Jesus is teaching us how to pray. One of the main things we see in the beginning petitions of this prayer is that the prayer is to be focused on God. And prayer is not to be focused, first of all, on ourselves. It's a gift of God to us. And through this gift, we communicate with God. But in communicating with God, we see that the focus must be on Him. For in prayer, we are speaking to our Father. And so we come before Him with confidence, the confidence of His love in Jesus Christ, but also we come before Him with awe and reverence because He is so great. Jesus taught us to pray, first of all, hallowed be thy name. So that the idea is, the chief desire we would have in our prayers is that God's name would be glorified, God's name would be hallowed and revered. And that's not just for prayer, but that is for all of life. But we considered also last week that God is accomplishing the coming of His kingdom. And we're to pray in regard to the coming of that kingdom. We're to pray for the gathering of the church. We're to pray for the protection of the church and God's people. We're to pray as well for the return of Jesus Christ and the full manifestation of His kingdom. Now, this is what we come to this morning. Jesus teaches us how to think about God's will in prayer and in life as citizens of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Jesus here teaches us how to think and pray in regard to the will of God. And that's especially important for us in the decisions that we must make in our lives. And we are constantly making decisions. I'm not just talking about the big decisions. You young people may have big decisions to make. Are you going to go to college? Where are you going to go to college? Who will you marry one day? You may wonder, as you think ahead about the future, what your life is going to look like in 5 years or 10 years, and you feel the pressure of the decisions that you must make right now because you know that those will impact what's going to happen 5 or 10 years from now. When I talk about decisions, I'm not just talking about those. I'm not just talking about decisions that some of you may have to make, big decisions. Am I going to buy this house? Are we going to sell our house? Are we going to move to a different place? Am I going to quit this job and take another job? When might I retire? All those kinds of decisions, those are big decisions to make in life. But every day we have decisions to make. Smaller ones, but important nonetheless. What will I eat? What will I watch? What will I do? What will I do when my children are disobedient? What will I do when mom and dad don't seem to be fair? What will I do when there's a spat with my spouse? Decisions, constantly, we're making decisions about what we will do, what we will say. We have decisions to make in this life. And so often in those decisions we make, some of them at least, we want to know what the future holds. And so we want to know what the future will be. And we think maybe then praying, "Thy will be done," is more this: God, show me Thy will. Show me what the future holds. Show me exactly what I ought to do in this particular decision, when in that particular decision there might not be a right or a wrong in that. And so we just want God to show us. And that's not what Jesus here is teaching us to pray. The more I've studied this petition, the more I'm convinced that the focus of this petition is not so much the will of God's decree, it has impact upon it, but it's the will of God's precept. We're to be praying for strength to obey what God says in His Word. And that is the explanation of the Heidelberg Catechism. It's about that. Not God, show me what the future holds. Not God, give me the crystal ball so I would know if I make this decision, what does that mean for this, that, and the other thing? That's not it. But that in the decisions we would make, we'd be godly and obedient to Him. So I want to look at this petition of the Lord's Prayer. I'm using this theme, praying for God's will in our decisions. We know it's, first of all, what God's will is. Secondly, how we pray. And then finally, the great assurance that we have as we pray this. God's will, what is that? Well, I've said it already, it has two aspects. And we're familiar with those two aspects. So that when I would say the will of God to you, maybe would think right away of those two aspects of the will of God. There's the will of God's decree, and there's the will of God's precept. And we want to consider them in that order. First of all, the will of God's decree. This is what God has ordained. Everything comes to pass according to God's sovereign decree. God's sovereign decree is His plan for all things. And understand that this plan, this will of God can never be thwarted. It's fixed. It's immutable. God has a plan that is never changed by Him. It's the eternal plan of God that changes not. This sovereign will then is His providential working of all things according to that perfect plan or decree. That's what we read in Ephesians 1 verse 11, which says that God works all things after the counsel of His own will. All things, and all things means all have to drink out of the refrigerator, whether it's a glass of water, a glass of milk, or a glass of pop. That's been determined by God. He determined everything in our lives. We could even say it this way. God micromanages our lives so that when the smallest sparrow falls, it happens according to God's will. When a hair falls out of my head, it happens according to the will of God. That's part of what is revealed in Acts 4, verses 27 and 28, as the Apostle Paul there is praying and speaking about the life and the work of Jesus Christ. We read there, just let's remember what we read, "For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." As we look back in the life and ministry of Jesus, not just the big picture of His dying on the cross and His coming for that purpose, but all the small events in His life, all of that, the Apostle Paul is saying, was leading up to the death of Jesus Christ, that was all determined by God, so that God's eternal plan and counsel was being accomplished in the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. If it's true of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, it's true of all things. It's the sample that Peter looks at there that shows us what is true for our lives as well. God is sovereign over all things. His plan is always accomplished. We often don't know what that plan is ahead of time. God's plan for the future is not revealed to us. It's part of those secret things. But now we know as we look back upon things and we see what has happened in our lives, even traumatic things in our lives, we look back on it and say, it was all according to God's perfect plan. That is the will of God's decree. But the other side of the coin of God's will is the will of God's precept. What is that? Well, this is the moral will of God. This refers to His commands, what He calls us to do, the life of obedience before Him. That's the will of God's precept. That's what we read of at the end of Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy 29. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. What are the things that are revealed? Well, the words of the law, where God commands us how we are to live. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 3 is another passage that speaks of this aspect of the will of God. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. What's the will of God? There it is, abstain from fornication. What's the will of God? Read the Ten Commandments. There's the law. This is the will of God. The will of God for how we are to live is fully revealed to us right here in the Holy Scriptures. Now, that's important for us to note this morning, because we live in a day where many are saying, no, there's something to be found here, but there's another way that God shows us how we are to live. There's another way that God shows us what we're to do and the decisions that we have to make on a daily basis. He whispers in our ears. He speaks to us, and then He tells us what we are supposed to do. So you can listen for that voice of God, and then you will find out what to do in certain situations. There are many who claim that in our day. But the reality is that is not how God speaks to us. There is no need for new revelation, because we have everything that we need in the Holy Scriptures. That's 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. We have everything that we need for a life of righteousness before God. So the will of God's precept is shorthand for obedience to God's commands, walking in His ways and doing what is pleasing to Him. But now this morning, we want to understand in part the relationship between those two aspects of the will of God. And we need to understand this morning that there is a danger. And that danger is that we think there's a third aspect to the will of God. And we think that there is this hypothetical perfect will of God that is beyond what He reveals in His Word. And we think that there's this perfect will of God that we can find, and if we just make the right choices along the way, then this is going to lead automatically to a happy and fulfilled life. There's that thinking in our day. If I choose the right college, I choose the right spouse, I make all these right decisions with my money and all of the rest, and then I do that, then that's going to lead to happiness. A happy life. Now there are those who are young that can face that and wonder about that and feel that pressure. I've got to make this right decision right now. And if I don't, it's going to screw up everything else in my life that follows. So I got to choose the right vocation. I have to choose the right college. I have to choose the right spouse. I have to choose this, that, and the other thing. And so I want to know what God's will in those things. What choice should I make? And then what they're doing is looking for some sign from God. They want it written across the sky. They wish that they could put out the fleece like Gideon put out. Make the fleece wet and the ground dry. Make the ground wet and the fleece dry. And then I'll know what I am to do. By the way, God was extremely merciful to Gideon, because God had made it plain to Gideon what Gideon was to do. He was go to fight the enemy. But he didn't do it. He really wasn't trusting in what God said to him. So we don't need those kinds of things. But what happens is we easily seek in our own life to find this perfect will of God. But it's not just for young people who are looking at the decisions that they have to make and what it means for the future. It easily happens when we look back. And we have a life that isn't very happy. It's filled with all kinds of troubles. Marriage, home, relationships, and the list can go on and on. We go back and think, well, I made this choice back then. If only I'd made this choice, then it all would have been different today. But remember, we're forgetting about the will of God's decree. That in the very decisions that we make, it's not as if we could have gone back and said, well, I should have made it differently. God has decreed the decisions we made. Maybe they were bad decisions. That very well may be. And we may need to confess how we were wrong and sinful in those decisions that we made. But even in those wrong decisions, we see and understand the perfect plan of God is being accomplished. And His perfect plan doesn't automatically mean happiness for me. The perfect plan of God does mean for me everlasting life. The perfect plan of God does mean for me that He's working good. He's making me more like Jesus Christ. But the danger for us in this thinking that there's this perfect will, this perfect plan that will automatically lead to happiness, is that then we spend all of our time trying to find this perfect plan. This leads us to finding guidance that in something other than God's revealed will. We're trying to find out something that God is not pleased to reveal to us. And so maybe we turn in our Bibles and look for random Bible passages. Or we start looking at opened and closed doors. We start wishing that we could go back to casting lots. Or we want to flip a coin and use that to find out what God wants us to do instead of putting the hard work in, making the decisions that God wants us to make. This type of thinking is mysticism. It's not biblical. It's not biblical in the decisions that we have to make. It's not looking, we shouldn't be looking for some kind of sign. God doesn't speak in that way. We're not looking for random Bible passages that are somehow going to show us what we ought to do. And by the way, I don't know about you, but I can relate to all of that. Tell you the truth, I've looked for those types of things before. I'm ashamed to admit it. Even with calls I had early in my ministry, I was looking for something. I was looking for something that God was never going to give me. Because I wanted to put that all on Him and say, God, just show me, tell me, whisper it in my ear, right across the sky. And I could even joke about it and say, yeah, I wish that God would do it. But I really wanted Him to do it. And I was looking for it. And that's not the way for us to make decisions in our own lives. What are we to do then when making decisions? Three things. The first is this. We read the Word of God. We do that regularly. We seek the divine wisdom that is found only in the Holy Scriptures. Now I mean by that, not looking for a direct answer. Now there are direct answers about what is right and wrong. But there are certain decisions that come when it comes down to it aren't a matter of right and wrong. Let's not look to the Bible for those, reading a certain passage and finding that answer that we need. But instead, wanting to understand what godliness, what biblical wisdom is, so because we desire to live a life that is pleasing to Him. So that, first of all, we know the Scriptures well. We know what God calls us to do in the will of His precept. We know the law, we know wisdom, and we're striving to live by that. Secondly, we seek the good counsel of others within the church, within our families, who know us well. We seek that good counsel. What do they say about this decision that I have to make? And then thirdly, we pray. And now that's what I'm interested in this morning. We are interested in as we look at this petition, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does Jesus mean in this petition? How are we to pray about the will of God in our lives? It's not, show me thy will. Jesus teaching us to pray, thy will be done, does not mean, show me thy will. Show me what I have to do in this particular situation that I am in. That's not what Jesus is after in this petition. We ought never to think that. But instead, as I said earlier, the focus of this petition is the will of God's precept. And so the Heidelberg Catechism teaches us this. We pray that God will give us the desire and the ability to follow His moral will, His moral law. Notice that emphasis in the Catechism. What's the third petition? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good. This is the good will for our lives. The law, the word of God. That so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. What Jesus teaches us to pray here is that God would give us the ability, the desire to do what He calls us to do in His Word. Jesus is teaching us here how to think about the will of God in relation, or to think about prayer in relationship to God's will. What must our thinking be? Prayer is not a way to find out God's will. In fact, in many ways, we probably have to quit praying, show me, show me. But instead, we must be praying as we have decisions to make, whatever those decisions may be. They may be very personal decisions. Decisions that have to do with your home and your family. Decisions that have to do with your finances. Whatever those decisions may be, we're going to be praying then that God would so rule us and guide us that we would not do something that is outside what He calls us to do in His law and His word. And that's so important for us to understand because we can get so caught up with what should I do? Show me what I ought to do that we use prayer to excuse disobedience. I can't tell you how much I've heard it from Protestant Reformed people. I've prayed about it. It becomes something we hide behind. I've prayed about it. All of a sudden, that's the magic thing. Because I've prayed about something, therefore, it must be the will of God. I've prayed about it. Well, the question is not whether or not you prayed about it, and then do you find peace with that? Because our hearts can be deceived. We know that. But the question is, what does God say? What does God say? You can have someone who says, I prayed about our marriage. And now I'm convinced I have to leave you. I have to divorce you. I'm not happy in this marriage. I prayed about it. Okay, that may be. But now, what does God say here about that? Now, maybe there's a ground for that, but maybe there's not. What does God say? And so we must not hide behind this. Well, I prayed about it and I've asked God to show me His will and He's not shown me that it's not His will. He's not given me the sign across the sky. He's not given me the fleece to show anything different. This must be the right thing to do. We must not use prayer in this way to justify, to defend our own disobedience before God. Jesus is teaching us that we pray about God's will in such a way that we have an attitude and thinking of submission to what God calls us to do in His Word. We may not pray, thy will be done, and then simply ignore what He calls us to do. We're called to pray, thy will be done, and seek the wisdom of God in His Word. That's the focus of answer 49 of the Heidelberg Catechism. And notice the wording there, that we need to renounce our own wills. Grant that we and all men may renounce our own will. That's part of it, isn't it? Our will often gets in the way. My heart gets in the way. My heart can be deceived. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 shows that. The heart is deceptive. It can be deceived. Our desires can be wrong. Our thinking can be wrong. Maybe it's we want control over things in our own lives. I want things in my way and in my time. And then we begin asking for grace. But at the same time, we don't want to obey what God calls us to do in His Word. So that's what we ought to be praying constantly. Give me the ability to apply biblical wisdom to all the decisions that I make in my life. We sang earlier from Psalm 119. I said earlier when we sang it, Psalm 119 is a prayer. It's a long prayer, 176 verses of prayer, in which often the psalmist is repeating a petition. His petition is, teach me thy statutes that I may walk according to those statutes. Let me show some of the verses there. Verse 12. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Verse 26. I have declared my ways and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes and I shall keep it unto the end. He wants to walk in the ways of God. That's his prayer over and over again. Verse 66. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Teach me. Teach me to see what is good and right, that I may make decisions that are right according to God's Word. You find that in the New Testament. Philippians 1, verses 9 and 10. There you have Paul saying what he prays for the church in Philippi. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And so Paul prays for the church, that the church would follow the Word of God, the statutes and judgments that are found there. And then James 1, verse 5, where we're called to pray for wisdom and the confidence that God will give us that wisdom. That's one thing we ought to be praying for daily. Wisdom. Biblical wisdom in all the decisions that we must make. And then give us grace to obey and follow courageously what God calls us to do in His Word. So that, first of all, how do we pray? We pray that God will work in us the desire and ability to follow His moral will. Secondly, this, pray that God will give us grace to embrace His sovereign will for our lives without complaint. So here we come to praying in regard to the sovereign decree of God, the will of God's decree. It's not about changing that will of God's decree. It's not about knowing what the future holds if I make this kind of decision today. But instead, it's praying that I would have grace to embrace this sovereign will without complaint in my life. That is referred to, at least in passing, in Lord's Day 49, when it speaks there of our station and calling. So performing the duties of His station and calling. Station and calling, our place in this life, is that which God has determined in His sovereign will. You're a father, you're a mother, you're a husband, you're a wife, you're a single member, you're a child, you're a young person. You have this job, you have this work. Mom has her work and callings that she has. Station and calling. Some of us do that with the sicknesses or illnesses that God has placed upon us, whether in old age or we are young. Some of us do that with heavy hearts because we've lost someone significant in our lives through death. That's part of our station and calling. But you see, we need this. We need this desperately to pray that God will give us grace to submit to His will for our lives because of our sinful desire to be sovereign in the place of God. And so it may be that in our prayers we become focused on praying that God would take away something that is going on in our lives, or to pray for something that we so desperately want in our lives. And in the end, what we're trying to do is take on ourselves the sovereignty that belongs only to God. We know that we're not embracing the sovereign will of God for our lives if whatever situation we're facing, we're getting angry, we're filled with bitterness. It can be things long ago, or it can be the cold shoulder that your spouse gave you this morning, and it's still there. The big things were the small things. So we see in that bitterness and that anger that we're not submitting to the sovereign will of God for our lives. And that's why we need to pray this. Give me grace. Give me grace to trust God's good will, to trust that His way is good and right. To trust that even with decision, maybe bad decisions we've made in the past, and we have the consequences in our lives yet today, but we need to pray that God would give us the ability to see and understand that this is good and right in our lives. Beloved, the reality is that the Bible does not give us clear-cut answers for every situation in life. The Bible does not tell you specifically who you ought to marry and when you ought to marry, or whether or not you ought to marry. It says marriage is good, but the single life is also good. But it does say marry in the Lord, and to marry outside of that is contrary to the will of God. Well, there again, that's where I've heard people use prayer and say, well, I prayed about this. I prayed about who I should marry. I prayed whether or not I should marry this person. Yeah, but this person is an unbeliever. Yeah, but I prayed about it. God's will is clear. Maybe you prayed about it, but you're not listening to what His answer is, as it's found right here in the Holy Scriptures. There are boundaries. There are other things too. Where should I live? What education should I pursue? What vocation? How should I divide my time among church and family and work? What do I do with my finances? With how that plays out in education and the church and giving and different priorities? And so these are the things we have to begin asking ourselves. What brings glory to God? What's motivating me? What's motivating me? Love of God or love of self? Love of the world? What shows love to others? We have to think along those lines in decisions we make. Serving others, not first of all for me. If I do this, does this cause others to stumble? Will this contribute to my spiritual growth? Would watching this, listening to this, does that contribute to my spiritual growth? What fits my gifts and abilities? What does it mean to be like Jesus in this situation? What does it mean to be like Jesus as I make this decision? We must prayerfully consider biblical wisdom and pray that God would give us biblical wisdom so that we can make decisions assured that God is leading us as we make those decisions. And that brings up another great struggle for us. It's to trust. There's assurance when we pray this. There is wonderful assurance when we pray that we would be sensitive to the wisdom and the will of God as that's revealed in the Holy Scriptures. There is assurance that comes to us. The assurance is what we see and understand. We know that God is in control of all things. Here's the question. Do you trust God for the future? And do you trust God for today? That's part of the struggle for us, isn't it? When we want to know the future. We want it all laid out. We want to know what the end of all of this is going to be in our lives, but in part because we just want to be happy. We just want it easy. And God doesn't promise that. He promises something better and higher, to be more Christ-like. And so this is the assurance that we have. This is the trust that we have. Don't worry about the future, because God has it all in His hands. He does. Matthew 6, Jesus is pointing that out in a powerful, powerful way. I just call your attention in that chapter that is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount to the last two verses of Matthew 6, where Jesus says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Jesus reminds us in Matthew 6, trust in him. Trust in him. Don't live in anxiety about, and this specifically, about food and drink and clothing and jobs and housing and everything else that we need to live here on this earth. Worrying and obsessing about these things will not add anything to your life. And it certainly will not produce holiness, and it will not produce true joy. But Jesus says, very plainly, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and the decisions that you make and all you do, not first kingdom of self. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and trust then that the God who has saved you in Jesus Christ holds your life and is guiding you in all of life. That's what faith does. It trusts in God based on who he is. Who is he? He's sovereign. He's the God who has a perfect will of decree that is always being accomplished in your life and in our lives and in all the world. It's a perfect decree, perfectly being accomplished for his glory. He's sovereign over all. He's working a good purpose for all of these things. And the very decisions that we make, and the very fact that you have to make decisions, God's teaching you to trust in him. That's why he wants us to struggle with those decisions, to teach you to trust in him. Faith commits our way to the one who is sovereign over all and control of all things, to the one who powerfully rules over all. Do you trust him today? Do you trust him with your lives and everything that is to come? There's no reason not to. But here's where Satan works again, and he wants us not to trust. He wants us to take control. He wants us to think that we need a different and a better way, and that we're the ones who know the better way than God has planned out for our lives. That's not how we pray then. But this is part of following the instruction of Jesus in regard to prayer, that we pray in faith. Thy will be done. Whatever that means for my future and hardship and difficulty that I have in my life that I could never imagine, thy will be done. And as I'm living this life, and maybe even struggling with those circumstances, Father, give me wisdom. Give me strength that I live by thy word and thy commandments in all of my life. That's what Jesus teaches us to pray this morning in faith. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, grant us strength to live our lives knowing that thou art the God who has a sovereign will. May we live our lives in the light of that will, the will of thy decree, that thou art in control and thy control is perfect. But also, that thou art a God who tells us how we are to live, and we must follow that. Give us strength to obey thy word and thy commandments in all of life, in all the decisions that we make today and tomorrow and this week and in the future as well. So lead us and guide us. Teach us how to pray in a way that is right and pleasing before thee. And forgive us, Father, where we have not. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.